From our readings today, it's all about humility. But I would say the common understanding of humility is unhelpful at best. Most people view humility as kind of the wet blanket of the virtues. Like if you're doing well or if you have some great talent, you're supposed to stomp out any good feelings you might have about these things. So today, let's correct that by understanding what real humility is, and then apply this true definition as a cure to two common struggles that a lot of people have. So to begin, we have to stop thinking of humility as a restriction and see it for the beautiful remedy that it is. True humility is this: the ability to see reality clearly. This is most helpful during self-examination, because with humility, we can know our strengths and then figure out, where am I going to be most effective? In addition, true humility helps us acknowledge our weaknesses, but then we have a healthy detachment about it. Not so that we can give up when a challenge arises, but so that we can work on our deficiencies and then even peacefully defer to someone else who might have a better idea or more strength. Let's just get right into using how this definition is going to cure two struggles. I'd say the first struggle that people can have that humility is going to help with is a lack of confidence. Individuals who struggle with this encounter difficult or tough situations, and their initial reactions is to say to themselves, I can't do this. Or when it comes to spirituality, when they're invited to pray or come to some church event, they kind of say to themselves, I'm not holy enough. There are so many ways that people limit themselves because they feel like they don't measure up. In short, this first struggle is when people encounter a good, healthy challenge, but they think they can't overcome it even when they can. What has happened is the fact that emotions and reactions like this, they're very habit-forming. If you allow yourself to shy away from something due to lack of confidence, you'll be more inclined to react in the same way in the future, till it becomes a natural reaction. In short, you start believing the lie that you can't handle the things even when you have the skills to overcome them. You're more than capable. Modern psychology has even characterized this vice as the term imposter syndrome. I don't know if you've heard of that one. It's the constant feeling that if people got to know the quote-unquote real you, then they wouldn't like you, or you wouldn't belong to them as their friend, or you don't even belong at the job that you have, even though you have the skills. Whatever the situation, the cure is true humility. Humility is the clear look at yourself, taking into account you have real skills and strengths. Humility will counter these feelings of lacking because it gives you a correct perspective of who you are and what you can do. In short, God gave you specific abilities and real talents, and it's time to dispel the fear and incorrect view that you aren't capable. And this is done with genuine humility. Now let's move on to the next struggle where humility can help. A lot of people suffer from perfectionism. This manifests in the constant pressure that not only do you have to succeed to be lovable, but on top of that, you have to succeed in a spectacular manner. In perfectionism, there's a link between accomplishing tasks and your own self-worth. While the first vice we talked about today played on the fears of I can't do something, perfectionism shoves you and burdens you with the fact of I have to do this and it has to be perfect. Humility will offer freedom from this pressure, because it gives you the knowledge that you are human with limitations, and that's okay. Not only does humility help you decide if you're meant to take on a task in the first place, but it can also equip you with the phrase, good enough. And I know I personally struggle with this one. There are just times that I have to acknowledge that something is not the way I like it, but it is good enough. Either a written document, a decision, a homily. When I have way too much going on, spread too thin, I can't get it perfect, and I have to say, it is done and it is good enough. And then you have to be at peace with it. A lot of time, people who struggle with perfectionism view their weaknesses as a source of shame. But instead, your weaknesses should actually be the conduit or the way that you get to God. Listen to St. Paul. St. Paul has viewed his humility with humility, his weaknesses. He sees them as an invitation to remember and connect and implore and be with God. Listen to St. Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, quote, "I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness." St. Paul recognizes that his weaknesses remind him that God is God and Paul is not. And sometimes that's the best prayer to pray. In the end, we have the responsibility to do good and wonderful things in the name of Jesus Christ. But you get the freedom to remember that Jesus is everyone's Savior. You are not. Continue to do more for Jesus and let humility kind of take off any unfair pressure that you have placed upon yourself. So in summary, don't view humility as the wet blanket of the virtues anymore. It's not meant to dampen the joy you feel with your achievements and your strengths. Instead, humility is an honest, real look at ourselves and at God. If you struggle with self-confidence, ask for humility to see your strengths clearly. You can accomplish things, and you have to start admitting it. If you struggle with perfectionism, ask for humility to see your weaknesses with a healthy detachment. Keep working and doing good in this world, but enjoy being released from the burden of perfectionism. Overall, the goal of being humble is a freedom to know how God created you. You have strengths to glorify God. You have weaknesses to remind you that you're not the Savior. This week in your prayer, ask for God's help. Ask him this week to give you true humility.